You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. For the Penguins and more, Mike Rupp joins us. Rupper, welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm good, Gregs. How you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. We're 2 weeks into the NHL season now, and it's not a huge enough sample to be strong, I think, on everything. But there are some ones that you look and say, "Hey." And I want to start with a player, because I like to have what I like to say realistic or maybe even lower expectations, especially on young players. And if they exceed them, well, that's awesome. Rather than hyping a guy up and then he's not the player that I falsely claimed he was, and then be mad at him for that. So. Matthew Schaefer, through six games, Rupper, has looked unbelievable. Like, he doesn't look like a rookie. His skating is even better than I thought it was at the NHL level. Like, he's one of the elite skaters in the game already. And he's a young 18. It's not like he's an 18-year-old, turning on January 1st. Like, he's 18, and I don't even know, what is it, 50 days or something. Like, he's a young kid who looks incredibly more mature for his age.
Oh, he does. It's funny because we knew that off the ice, that he's mature for his age. But that doesn't always translate on the ice, and it certainly has. I gotta give a ton of credit, I think, to the New York Islanders coaching staff, Patrick Waugh, and I don't know, I'm not in that room. Maybe there's someone working even closely with him on the day-to-day. But they're allowing him to do his thing. I think so many times when you see a player, remember what the narrative was with Matthew Schaefer, all-world skater. We'll see what he's going to look like as a first overall pick, but it's going to take time. He hasn't played games. There's almost every reason to take this slow. But they look like they just let the reins off and said, do what you do. We'll teach you that stuff later. Yeah. We'll get you to make better decisions. We'll make you maybe play the scoreboard a little bit more. But right now, you're a great hockey player, a great skater. Let's use that. And he does, because he gets in there. And I think when you're on the ice with him, you have to know, I got to go back up. My defenseman is a forward. But he gets in the plays in the offensive zone. He hangs in there for a long time. He's got a long wick as far as his decision-making. He hangs in there sniffing out plays because he knows he's such an exceptional skater to get back. I love what I've seen so far from him. I don't know what the expectations are, because he's proven us, maybe underestimating him a little bit to start this season. But, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a point-of-game guy all season long, but he's showing that he could take on this league right now, and it's very impressive.
Yeah. Point-of-game guy would be ridiculous, but that would be an unbelievable story if he did. He's just off to a great start, and he looks very comfortable. It's not like a guy, you see some forwards who, they bury a few goals and you look at the stat line and, I'm not sure. Just the way he plays the game and the way he moves, I think it's been really impressive. Bobby Bugner probably has a bit to say as the defense coach there in Long Island as well. So that's been a good start for them. No question about it. The Detroit Red Wings, Rupper, are you buying what the Red Wings are selling early on this season?
I feel so stupid saying this, but after game one, the way they looked, I'm like, gosh, this is it. This is it. I'm usually one that's pretty – I got a lot of patience with that usually, but I think just because I've been so frustrated with this team the last number of years, feeling like they need to turn the corner and just falling short all the time and seemingly kind of going into the doldrums of a season and not getting points, that could still happen. But I love the way they reacted after game one. And we talked about it on here. You had McClellan calling them out. They responded in a big way. I was actually doing some clips, put some clips together on Dylan Larkin, because I think he's sixth in the NHL or whatever in scoring right now, 11 points. I think he's what's like 6-5. He has been really good in all areas. His defensive play, his hockey IQ, the things he's doing right now to start a season. I think he's the pace setter. And we would expect that because he's got the C on his jersey. But we saw him take a step in Four Nations. He's one of the guys, I think, that we really talked about coming out of Four Nation. And then it was kind of a little bit quiet when he got back to Detroit after that tournament. But he started off on fire so far this year. I think that this team is really dangerous. I mean, their PK's cooking for him right now. They've got a lot of talent, young guys stepping up. And the fact they've run off five in a row, it's been very impressive.
You know, at the start of the season, I had the Metro as, I thought, overall top to bottom, the weakest division, because I wasn't sure if I saw any team that was a legit, you know, Carolina, I'll give. But even then, I don't know if I'd put Carolina in my top six teams come playoff time, because I've seen the same thing time and time again from them. Early on this year, that, you know, they got a lot of teams with 10 points. They're off to a decent start as a group. You know, the Hurricanes are 5-1. They finally lost. Devils are 5-1. They've got some injuries, but they've looked pretty good. The Caps are 5-2. The Penguins are 5-2. Now, if Jenny Malkin, dude, Rupper, it's like he says, hey, I'm a pending free agent. Everybody pay attention to me, because, man, he has turned back the clock. I know it's only seven games, but he has looked really good and is the main reason why the Penguins have suddenly won three in a row and are 5-2.
When he is healthy, he can still get going out there. And he can make things happen. He's got a great offensive mind. He competes hard. But all of that revolves around him being healthy. And we've seen good starts from him. I think he had, through the first five games last year, 8 points. The year before, I think the first five games, he had like 11 points. So we've seen him start hot. The problem is, I think Geno's had some injuries and he's gotten dinged up. And then things start kind of plateauing for him. But, I mean, this is hopefully this year's different in that regard, because I think you see him healthy, he could dominate. And what a great story Justin Brazeau's been. Anthony Mantha looks good. I mean, I give those guys credit, but they're playing with Geno. Geno is a facilitator. He can take a lot of the focus off of that line or the other players on that line. So he's been a pleasant surprise. And the Pittsburgh Penguins have. Like, they are playing a good brand of hockey right now. They've got some young players that are being impactful. So they're a fun team to watch. I will say this, though, and you just said it. It is early. Yeah. It's a long season. It's hard to do that for 82, but I think you got to be tickled pink if you're Dan Muse and the Pittsburgh Penguins, because they've been playing good.
Yeah, like the Devils, Hurricanes, and Capitals, I think people probably have a little bit more faith in long term. What about the Tampa Bay Lightning? Rupper, one win in six games, and you know they've allowed 21 goals in that span. Now they got Kucherov, and they got Point, and they got Vasilevsky. And so on paper, you're like, okay, I think they'll come around. But when one win in six games is never ideal at any point of the season. But you know, for Tampa Bay, anything you see that causes you concern on that team?
They're not defending their structure, and that's. That can mean 100 different things. I just think that last year, when you look at that team, we know how incredible Nikita Kucherov is. We know, I think Braden Point and Jake Ensel were both tied or 1-2 in the league for power play goals. That power play is lethal. Vasi was healthy last year. But they defended. They were top five defensive team in a lot of defensive metrics last season. So they put the puck in the net and as a top five team. They kept it out of theirs as a top five team. That's why I thought they were very dangerous. I had them going to the Stanley Cup Finals and kind of the prediction shows. But they don't have that this year. So we've seen John Cooper, who usually doesn't kind of blow a gasket very early in the season. He's done that already. There's been just managing games, bad decision-making, turning pucks over. Those are things that they are generally pretty good at, and they haven't been so far. So, I mean, do I think, just like I said with the Penguins, it's an early go in the season here. But, I mean, when you're talking about dead last or one win, it starts to get a little bit concerning, because are they capable of running off 8 of 10? Absolutely. But, I mean, that's a lot to ask of a team. So they need to – and I don't want to say must win, but they need to turn it around here pretty quickly.
I look at, you know, the Western Conference, and the Oilers last night, they got a win in Ottawa. But, you know, their offense still – like, they were up 2-0. I think they had 13 shots, right? Like, they're still – they're not where they want to be offensively. But defensively, Rupper, as a team – they're pretty good. They don't give up a ton. Their goaltending's actually, you know, Stuart Skinner technically has been fine. You know, he had, you know, and obviously the opening game against Calgary, but I think at this point you can probably say, okay, move on from that. The rest of the time, you know, they just look pretty good. So the positive for Edmonton is defensively they're good, but man, offensively they still seem to be missing a little juice.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to compare them to the New York Rangers, but that's the same kind of storyline we're talking about with the Rangers. And for me, maybe it's more prevalent with the Rangers because they did not defend last year. They have not defended well in a couple of years, but they're doing it now where I think, all right, well, eventually goals will start going in. But the Edmonton, they have defended pretty well over the last number of years. And that's a team when they need to win 1-0, they can win 1-0. So it's good that they got those defensive things in place and Stuart Skinner bouncing back from that game one. I think it's a matter of time. I mean, Connor getting on the board last night, I think, was big as far as getting a goal. I think they get going, but, I mean, it's always going to fall on what we talk about with this team all the time, depth scoring. Are they going to be able to have someone else do those things, find that right chemistry? That's going to be where this kind of – if it's going to change or not in the near future. So, I think they're okay. I think they're okay. I think this is a team that – generally, what's the months? I mean, you would know. It's like, I feel like January and February is Edmonton's time every year. You don't want it to not be their time right now, but it's just a little bit of a rough patch, I feel like. But they're defending. And I think if you ask any coach in the National Hockey League, if we're not getting wins, but we're defending and we're doing a good job in that department, I think you can take that with a grain of salt and be okay with it.
Yeah. Well, their power plays is going to pick up. It did score 2 goals. Last night, the second one coming in overtime with their second unit. So that's a positive for them. Drysdale and McDavid have admitted like they're not feeling it. And, you know, I know the team talked a lot about wanting a good start, but that doesn't discount the fact that history tells us the Stanley Cup loser rarely gets out of the gates fast. There's just something mentally, I think, probably more emotionally than mentally about it. And, you know, they've had a lot of road games, so we'll see. A game like that, at least they win. Now, you know, it's funny. You win that game, you start the road trip with a win, you end the road trip with a win. The flight home is a lot better, right? Yeah. They come home, and now they're like, all right, we've got a little bit of juice here. Let's go. Henrik just played his 1,000th game. Yay. They're home for one day, which is, it's almost like an eight-gamer because they're home in Edmonton, and then they go right to Seattle and Vancouver. We always hear that coming off a road trip, sometimes it's hard to play at home. Any reason why you think that's true?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's, you sit there, and this would allude to the road trip went good. In what I'm about to say, it's business. You're on the road, you get going, and it's hockey around the clock, and you get in this routine on the road, and you come home, and it almost just feels like we got that behind us. And even if there's losses thrown in there, it's just, you almost like check that off the list. And I don't know, you get back to home and it just feels like, all right, we got to get right back at it again. And it's tough. I don't know what it is. It's hard to find that energy again. Is it due because of the actual physical travel? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it is to some degree. I think it's more of a mental thing. I think it's more of a mental, you just need to have that kind of reset. And a lot of times coming off the road, when you're on a long road trip, you get off the road trip and you have a day off, maybe even 2 days off at times. You're trying to recover and get that stuff down, and it just kind of takes you out of the rhythm, and then you got to try to start it back up again. So, I don't know. I think it's more of a mental thing, but it is something that it certainly exists.
When you look at Mark Stone's injury, he was off to an unreal start. Him and Jack Eichel were shredding the NHL. And you saw that play. It was so, it looked like he just fell, which he did. He just fell. And now he's out, multiple weeks, which who knows what that means in the NHL. That could be up to 6 to 8 weeks at this point. Do you think, like, how much of an impact do you think that has for Vegas? Cause that line was killing it. Beyond belief, they were killing it. Would you put Marner with Eichel, or are you better off having them on separate lines now that Stone's out?
I think you're better off having them on separate lines. That's a really deep group there. I mean, obviously, Mark Stone, like you mentioned, was incredible. And just his way, he's such a smart hockey player. He's going to be missed in that lineup. I think the bigger thing for this team, bigger picture, is just that Mark Stone's healthy in the playoffs. And that's something that hasn't always been the case, but he finds ways to be effective regardless. So, he'll be missed. I keep those guys separate, though. I mean, the strength that they have over most and probably every team is four lines. Like, they have impactful guys throughout their lineup. And I don't believe that they need to stack the deck. And quite frankly, it doesn't always work. I mean, they've gotten a little bit of chemistry on the power play, but there really wasn't a ton going on with Marner and Eichel, even though Jack was getting all of his points in the first few games as well. I'd keep them separate. Give it an opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity to get someone else going in Mark Stone's place. But they are loaded up front, so I don't think Bruce Cassidy should have any problem trying to find the right lines.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's that is fair. They got a lot of depth, but Mark Stone has been unreal for them. So they got depth, but none of them are going to replace his offense. It'll be interesting to watch. What about the LA Kings, Rupper? The big red flag for you with the Kings? Kopitar's out for weeks. I know they got the overtime win last night from Adrian Kempe, but the Kings off, like, they won 2-1 last night, and I guess maybe they're going to try to win defensively, but they something just doesn't look right for them early on this year.
No, it just feels a little different. The injuries, the Gavrikov leaving in free agency, I think, is they're feeling that more than maybe they thought they would, and they wanted this to be done by committee, and remember that's why they got CC and who else am I thinking here on the back end?
Brian Dumoulin.
Yeah, Dumoulin. Thank you. And Dumoulin was incredible for New Jersey. He may have been their best playoff defenseman in the playoffs last year. So Dumoulin and CC come in, and I just think that Gavrikov is one of the best shutdown guys in the league. It's like you kind of let off the gas defensively, if that makes any sense. And it just makes me think, like, everything that they were was all D first. And now you're really relying on a player like in the contract situation for Adrian Kempe. Like he's their game breaker. Like he's the guy but they don't score. They don't generate a ton. I think that puts a lot of pressure on their goaltending. I'm concerned with them, how they've looked so far. I thought that they were a team that would probably be okay because they defended so well. I think I underestimated maybe the departure of a guy like Gavrikov, but I think they're feeling that, and they've had a tough start.
Rupper, always good to talk to you, buddy. We'll chat on the rundown on Friday, where we give our first Olympic roster, Canada and U.S.
Yes.
We'll see. We'll cause some good discussion. So look forward to it, buddy. Have a good one.
Yes, me as well. We'll talk soon.